Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Hello, friends. I want to talk about the blasphemous Antichrist idolatry we see going on all around us. Let's talk about it. And perhaps we can use the example of the Catholic Church's idolatry of Mary, a mere sinner and servant of the Most High God. God has always taught His people to worship Him via His own word and nothing else. His own word. That's why He gave us His word, so that we would have correct doctrine and correct worship. It takes a whole Bible to make a whole disciple, and one who is actually a disciple, who is worshiping God on His stated terms. Examples of this would be Deuteronomy 4, Psalm 119. We see it all over the Old and New Testament. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away," and that we are going to all be judged according to His word. Also, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness, 2 Timothy 3, etc. Yet Satan has planted vile tares, false Christs, false prophets, as Jesus warned would flood the whole New Testament era. He's flooded the earth with these people who teach otherwise, leading people, that is their prey, to worship at the altar of idols. For example, the person with a Mary statue, and there's so many of them, they were told that things about Mary, a mere servant, a sinner, that simply did what God called her to do, because He made her after all. They're told things about her that are not in God's word at all. We're going to look at a little bit of that in a minute. Yet because they chose not to read God's word for themselves, and instead they continue to listen to the cult they were born into and initiated into at 8 days old with the christening, they are led to the slaughter, destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4 verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." So they're led to worship a image, a statue, a mere ceramic or plaster of Paris image of a woman that they don't even know anything about, other than what their Catholic Church has told them about this woman, most of which is completely false. And we're going to look at that in a minute. God's people read His word to find out everything about Him. Let me say that again. That is so self-evident, yet it bears stating again. God's people read God's word to find out about God. They don't look anywhere else but God's word. And in doing so, they realize that Mary herself told us that she was a mere sinner, a servant. Her name, this is a fact, appears, go look it up, in only 6 of the 27 New Testament books. The Catholic Church would have you think that salvation wasn't possible without Mary, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Mary was called to be a servant of God, and she chose to obey God. And if she would not have, she would have been replaced. We know that from Scripture. In fact, Esther, another woman, a servant, a blessing, but a mere sinner like all of us, a mere woman, a mere mortal, if you will, said this in Esther when God called her to intercede and to play a part in the redemption, the saving of Israel from the gallows of Haman. Notice this, chapter 4, verse 14 of Esther. And you're going to learn a biblical truth, a divine truth here, by the way. Get this. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, in other words, if you don't do what I've called you to do in this hour, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Wow. In other words, if you don't do what I have called you to do, I'm going to remove you and replace you with somebody else. Because God said right here that enlargement, in other words, a full-blown blessing and deliverance, that is from being murdered in this instance, are going to arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, I'm going to keep my counsel and my promise. I will keep it, because the Bible says in Isaiah 34:6, not one of these, no one of these shall perish or not be fulfilled. Everyone will be fulfilled, all the promises of God, regardless of who chooses to obey God or disobey him. How do we know? Now, this is just speculation. I'm just making a point that God didn't attempt to get some other woman or women to bear the Messiah, and they refused, so Mary chose to obey. Now, again, speculation, but according to this right here and what we see throughout Scripture, God doesn't need us. We need him. And he's telling Esther here that if you don't obey me in this hour, I'm going to replace you. And that goes for you and me too, by the way. Every one of us. Well, brother, you don't understand. I've suffered hardship. Does not change the call of God. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He holds you fully accountable to obey them. I believe it's Romans 11:29. God is holding you accountable, friend, to obey his word. See that thou fulfill thy calling, right? Colossians, he told a man named Archippus. Colossians 4:16-17. For if thou, Esther, he's speaking to, altogether holdest thy peace at this time, if you just shrink back and don't stand forth and obey me, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. In other words, God is saying, I am going to deliver my people. I have heard their cry, and you are either going to obey me or not. Either way, if you don't obey me, I will remove you, and I will get this done, because I promised it, and this is my will, and it's going to be done with or without you, Esther. Notice this. Not only was God going to replace her, she was going to suffer consequences. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. This is a divine threat. Make no bones about it. I was going to say something else, but I lost the terminology. Make no mistake. There it is. So make no mistake. She was not only going to be replaced. Her and her father's house, her family, is going to be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Now we know that Esther chose to obey God, and I want to ask you, as Esther here was in the heat of the moment, she was in a season of great trepidation, and God put a word in her right here to warn her to obey him. And if she didn't, he was going to replace her and do it anyway, because he didn't need her. It's her opportunity to do what God called her to do. That's what a servant does. There's no accolades that belong to you and me for simply doing what God created and made us and prepared us to do. In fact, we read in Luke chapter 17, verse 10, so likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, this is what you should say. Not, oh boy, aren't I special? No. You should say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It's your duty to serve God in all and any and every way that he's called you to serve him. And he's holding you completely responsible and is going to bring you into account for each and every moment in this life of all the good or the bad that you have done, according to the scriptures, in the flesh, while in this, on this earth. Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, Paul says, in his letter to the church, the body of Christ at Colossae, he says, say to Archippus, that was a guy among them, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. That's essentially what he was telling Esther in Esther 4:14, as we just read. And by the way, I want you to remember, write down and go look over, pour over, and pray over the words of Esther 4:14, which we just read. So Archippus was to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And that's exactly what Mary did. She simply obeyed what God made her and called her to do. And notice Luke 1, out of her own mouth, beginning in verse 46. And this is, again, friends, this is going to underscore the futility of worshiping anyone except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We give glory to no other, for there is only one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is Jesus Christ, the nail-scarred, risen Savior who gave Himself a ransom for all. Beware of the blasphemous idolatry, the Antichrist, or the replacement of Christ. See, anti meaning in place of, anything or anyone who comes in place of the one magnificent Messiah, unique in all of history, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the altar of the cross, and shed His precious divine blood as a sacrifice to redeem or buy mankind back from his fallen, alienated, sinful state to the Father. Jesus Christ alone in His blood on that cross, where He said, "It is finished," satisfied the claims of the Father's justice to redeem us. And anyone who detracts from Christ, Jesus Christ, whether they're throwing Mary at you or the Pope or the Catholic Church or anything, they are Antichrist and are sure for eternal damnation as if they were already there. Now, we're just using one example here. One example. We're using the worship of Mary we see all around us by Catholics as an example. But there are a myriad, a literal myriad of idolatrous detractions that are coming at us all over the place. Notice what Mary herself said. First of all, Mary said at the wedding of Cana, he told the people, whatever Jesus tells you to do, obey Him. Mary told you to obey Jesus. Not her. Don't look to her. There is no prayer to Mary in the Bible. There is no prayer in the name of Mary, a mere sinner, in the Bible. Mary didn't die for anybody's sins. Notice what she says, Luke 1:46. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Notice she said that her soul magnifies the Lord, not herself. She brought no attention to herself, which is the case for every and all true servants of the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in what? In who? God my Savior. See, she admitted to being a sinner, which the Bible tells us of all men, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, with the exception of Jesus Christ. We have all sinned. He hasn't. He had the blood of His Father in His veins. It was not the blood of contaminated mankind, sin contaminated mankind. So she says God was her Savior. The only person who needs a Savior is a sinner, period. For it, that's Luke 1:47. Then she continues, for He hath regarded the low state of His what? Who? Handmaiden. Mere servant is what that means. Low servant. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. See, she's magnifying Christ, yet the Catholic Church tries to magnify her. And if they were going to follow her, it would be magnifying Christ, and there would be no Catholic Church. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. This is God she's magnified for doing all these things, as only He can do. And the rich He hath sent empty away. He hath holpen or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Also notice, in case I didn't point this out, in verse 48 of this text of Luke 1, Mary says, "For he, God, hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." Notice she puts herself in the place where she belongs, contrary to modern Catholics. Mary said she was a person of low estate, a mere handmaiden of the Lord, and never to be prayed to or worshiped. This is absolutely antichrist. It's fully and wholly demonic. Jesus Christ is the central theme of the whole of the Word of God. Of all 66 books, Mary is only mentioned in 6 of the 27 New Testament books. Just 6. Jesus is the central theme of all 27 of those books. In fact, there is no Bible without Jesus. He is God. He is the Word of the Father from heaven, made flesh to dwell among us and died for our sins. The Son of God is who He is. Everyone else was created to serve Him. All things were made by Him and for Him. And without Him was not anything made that is made. And He sustains all of His creation by the word of His power. Colossians 1, 16 and 17, etc. He is the only Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way." I'm not a way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does that mean? Well, you've got to come to Him in repentance and receive Him as the Savior, that He is the Lord of your life. Repent, confess your sins, and receive Jesus. He is Lord of all. He alone is the Savior. No one else can save you. Your church can't save you. Your priest can't save you. The Pope, a phony sinner in a costume, a religious costume, cannot save you. A sinner cannot forgive sinners. Bible 101, a sinner cannot forgive a sinner. Only Jesus, the sinless one, can forgive you. Jesus said, "The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." No one else. Matthew 9:6, the Son of Man. That's Him, not Mary. Yet the Catholic Church calls Mary a co-mediatrix. Mary was never said to be anything but a servant, a sinner in need of the Savior, the one Savior, Jesus Christ, as we just read in Luke chapter 1. In fact, she told people to obey Jesus. John 2:5. Mary never told anyone to pray to her, to adore her, to worship her, to pray in her name, or that she was a co-mediatrix, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches. Furthermore, Mary walked on no water. She opened no blinded eyes. She raised no one from the dead. She preached to no one, died on the cross for no one, was never raised from the dead, is not in heaven making intercession for anyone, etc. Mary was only a woman, friends. She was not God. She was not the Son of God. Jesus Christ is exclusive in all history. He alone qualified to pay the ransom price to redeem fallen mankind back to the Father. That is the testimony of all of Scripture. He is the only Redeemer, Savior, and soon coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the only holy potentate. That means supreme ruler, capital P. But in place of Him, the Roman Catholic Church gives you this little sinner in a costume in Rome sitting on a man-made throne called the Pope. Man, you got to be delusional, dude. There's something wrong, man. You're worshiping this man, this sinner. And by the way, he's got the boy pedophile symbol all over his robes. Go look it up. They're trying to hide it, but he's doing it. He's got it. So do the priests and the bishops of the Catholic Church. It's in your face, man. God's letting you see it, so you'll run to Jesus before it's too late, the only one who died for your sins and without which you will burn in eternal hell. Any person who has a Mary statue, a rosary, or any other good luck charm idol object is a Christ-denying, hell-bound sinner. God will allow no idolater into His eternal kingdom. The first two commandments, the second of which the Catholic Church removed from their Bible, say this, and by design, by divine design, God put these two first in order of priority. He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before before me. Also, the second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thyself any graven image of anything in heaven or in earth, and you will not be found guiltless if you do. If you try to worship God via objects, Jesus said that the true worshipers, those that worship God, must, it's essential, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. You don't see God through some idol. Doesn't matter what you've been taught. You're either going to lift your heart up and spontaneously seek and serve and humble yourself before a holy God who said that Jesus said that God is a spirit, or his spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth by opening your heart and having a relationship with him, beginning with telling him what he already knows, that you are a vile sinner, that you have lied, thou shalt not bear false witness, he said. You've stolen. Doesn't matter if it was a toothpick, you've stolen. In your life, we all have. Even if it's being lazy on the job, you're stealing from your employer by not doing a diligent job of integrity. And thou shalt not steal, says the scripture. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And we have all done that. That's only three. That's only a handful in this last minute of the commandments that we have broken. And if you've broken one of God's commandments, you are guilty of breaking the whole law, and you'll pay the price in eternal damnation for yourself, for your sins. Now, the good news is that Jesus came and paid the full price for those sins for you. But if you don't do things his way and you choose to hold on to your religion or anything else but what the gospel teaches, the good news that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and man, if you don't serve him, you're going to hell. God's word is replete from start to finish with accounts and statements from him concerning his utter enmity, that's the strongest word, concerning hatred, against any and all idolatry. God hates idolatry. It is more than impugning to him after what he's done for you in creating you and in coming to die for you. There will be no idolater, not one in heaven. The Lord will never change. He will not put up with one idolater who has one idol in his heart. Doesn't matter how much of a Christian you claim to be. If you got idolatry, if you're lukewarm and Jesus isn't your first love, you're going to hell. You better stay on fire for Jesus. That's why he warned us over and over to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. You don't sin. That's what temptation has as its goal, to get you to sin and live in sin. So he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus, concerning his return, which is going to catch so many off guard, that's what he taught over and over. In Luke 21, he says he gives you specifics about sins you must beware of, so that when he comes, you're not caught off guard, but you're worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Anybody trying to tell you, well, Jesus is just going to oversee your sin, you know, he just covers it with his blood and it's a blanket and you can still live in it, basically, you're not required to repent of it, confess it, and overcome it. They're lying to you, folks. Proverbs 20, you need to read the Bible and stop listening to those evangelical demonic agents. Stop it. Read the Bible for yourself. The King James Bible, by the way, trash the other garbage. Read the real Bible. Man up to God. Open your heart and be naked before him and be honest. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Anyone who is not seeking the Lord and becoming enthralled in him as their first love, they are lying to themselves. They are idolaters. They're not upholding the head, Jesus Christ, Colossians 2:18-19. And they're as sure for damnation as if they were already burning red hot in the flames of eternal damnation. In fact, any person who believes God is going to receive any idolater, any person living in sin, into his holy presence and kingdom, any person that is who is living in sin proves themselves to be walking in darkness and outside of Christ. Now it's time to repent, to take God at his word, the whole word of God, and to stop listening to fables, stories, and religious lies. To repent, get your life right with him on his terms as are stated in Holy Scripture. Now, you will notice that the Catholic Church goes so far as to put Mary on the cross. There are pictures out there. I found one, and I've seen several over the years, of Mary hanging on the cross in Ecuador in a Catholic chapel. Boy, if you don't think Catholics worship Mary, I mean, you got pictures of the Pope bowing down to a statue of Mary. That is a total lie to say Catholics don't worship Mary. I was a Catholic for 2 decades, Catholic school, altar boy, so I know both sides of this. But you don't need to be a Catholic to know this. All you have to do is listen to what they teach and watch what they do. Concerning what you can watch them doing, you see them bowing down and making genuflections and signs of the cross, one of the many things in the Catholic Church that does not appear in Scripture. There's no rosary in Scripture. There's no scapular. There's no novena. There's no purgatory. None of that stuff's in the Bible. It's all made up pagan religious worship, ultimately of the devil himself, because he's behind every idol and all idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 19 through 21, and also Deuteronomy 32:17, where God told his people that they were worshiping the devil as they worshiped idols. Doesn't matter if you understand that or not. God said it, and it's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Notice this. Pope John the 23rd in 1959 stated this, quote, this is the phony Pope of Rome. Listen to what he says. Mary is a source of salvation to the human race. Our Sunday Visitor is a Catholic paper or publication, says Mary is the mediatrix of the graces that flow from her son's redemptive sacrifice. Notice how they have inserted Mary into the salvation equation, which is a lie, because the Bible tells us contrary. There is one God, just one, and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man Christ Jesus, not Mary. She is nowhere put into the equation of salvation. And by the way, she's not the mother of God. How old would she have to be the mother of God? He has no beginning. That is so ridiculous. So also Pope John Paul II in Catechism number 969 said, Mary is the all holy one. And also in publication 2677, he said, she has a saving office and brings forth the gifts of eternal salvation, unquote. Unbelievable, blasphemous idolatry. There's a myriad of reasons why we conclude that there's no such thing as a Catholic who is a Christian. You cannot believe the teachings and practices of the Roman Catholic Church and also the Bible. You've got to choose. Are you going to take God at his word, or are you going to continue to follow the pagan rituals and traditions of your church? This will determine your eternal destiny. Think about it. What water, as I said earlier, did Mary ever walk on? Whose blinded eyes did she ever open? What dead person did Mary ever raise from the dead? What leper or lame person did Mary ever heal and make whole? None. No, not one. What cross did Mary foretell she was going to die on for your sins and for the sins of the world? None. Never. What cross did Mary die on? Was it Mary who was sent from heaven to bleed, to shed his blood and be buried and rise again from the dead for the sins of mankind to redeem him? No, it was Jesus Christ. Is Mary coming back soon to save his people? No. It's Jesus. The Bible never says, not once, that Mary was full of grace, but rather that Jesus was full of grace. Notice John 1:14, and the Word, that's Jesus Christ, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Only Jesus was full of grace and truth, not Mary. One former Catholic said it this way. They said, my whole life as being Catholic, almost 40 years, I never saw one person bring a Bible to Mass, never. And I never missed Mass. And I attended, they continue, and I attended Mass all the time. I was also an office manager at one of the larger Catholic churches in the community of 5,000. So I would be there every day. And they would have Mass every day, never, no Bibles, unquote. Interesting, and so true. Every and any ex-Catholic will tell you that. Mary was a sinner by her own admission, as we mentioned earlier. She can save no one. There is no salvation in Mary. The Bible is clear, the record of Scripture. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 through 13. Could it be any clearer? He that believeth on the Son of God, the Apostle John writes, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in Mary, it's in his Son, Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Anybody who does not have Christ, and Christ alone is their Savior, does not have eternal life, and is sure for eternal damnation, as if they were already there. They're going to pay the price for their own sins, because they have chosen to reject the only sacrifice for the sins, and that would be Jesus Christ. Verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not hope, think, or wonder, but know, K-N-O-W, know of a surety, have the knowledge in the depth of your being, that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me tell you this, friends. In the Gospels, Jesus says, we know, you know, when you have passed from death unto life. You know it. When you're born again, when you've repented and obeyed the call of God to come to Jesus and receive him, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of men, even to those that believe on his name, John 1:12, they know they have eternal life. If you don't know you're going to heaven today, it's 100% true that you are not going to heaven at all. When you're born again and you're a new creature in Christ, because he's done the miracle of regeneration in your bosom, in your heart, you absolutely know you're his and that you're going to glory. So if you doubt you're going to eternal glory, it's because you're not going. And so today's your day, the day of salvation, as the scripture teaches, to turn to God in repentance, to admit that you are a vile sinner, you have broken his holy law, and you're fully guilty and in big trouble with him. And let me encourage you to know this. God, Jesus said, I will in no wise, in no case, cast out anyone who comes to me. He loves you, but you're going to do it his way or you're going to hell. Period. You're going to do it his way or you're going to hell. God's not going to change for you. You are a sinner, and so am I outside of Christ, and we don't deserve to even have the breath of life, but he loves us, and he created us in his image to love, worship, and richly enjoy his blessings. But daddy is the daddy of the house. We're going to do things his way, not our way, or we're not going to be with him now and forever. You're not going to do things the Catholic Church's way and go to God's heaven. The Catholic Church has nothing to do with the kingdom of Christ or eternal life. In fact, the only reason why they're in place is because Satan wants every one of them to go to hell, claiming they're representing Christ while simultaneously blaspheming the Son of God from A to Z. There is no system on earth that is more blasphemous of the Son of God than the Roman Catholic Church. Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Is Jesus drawing you today, my friend? Is today the day that you call on the Lord and be saved? The scripture says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God promises, Romans 10:13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Would you call on the Lord today, beloved? Would you say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I don't want a religion anymore. I want to follow you. I want to love, worship, and be with you now and forever, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you like to pray? I tell you what, I'm not going to stop right there. Let's finish this way. Let's go ahead and pray together. If you're ready to receive Jesus, I want you to consider a few things before we pray. I want you to, as we pray, you should know that you're praying to God. I'm just your fellow man here to help you, like others helped me to be saved by giving me the Word of God and loving me enough to do so. When we pray, you're going to pray from your heart. You're going to pray with everything that is in you, and you're going to surrender your life to Christ. We're not just running through a prayer. You're giving your life in repentance to God, in humility and sincerity. You're turning everything over to him, and he made you, and he knows how your life needs to be run for success. And let me tell you, he's 100% successful if we just follow him on his terms. So you can trust God. In fact, God said in his word, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. And then he says, be not wise in your own conceits. Fear the Lord and obey him. Let's pray. I want you to repeat after me, and you're praying, I remind you again, to God. You're praying to God, and he's going to hear you and save you right now. With everything that is in you, say this out loud to God in prayer. Here it is. You ready? Say it. Dear Heavenly Father, go ahead, say it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, if never before, go ahead, say it. Right now, if never before, I come to you as a broken and sinful person. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son to die in my place for my sins. Go ahead, say this. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth to die and rise again to rescue me from sin and eternal hell. And thank you for saving me for your eternal glory. Say this out loud. Right this moment, if never before, I receive you, Lord Jesus. I repent. I turn all the way to you. Come in and take over my whole life. I am all yours, and you are all mine. I love you, Jesus. And say this, and I will follow you from this moment forward, till I am with you in heaven forever. Please use me to help others to know you, dear Lord Jesus. I love you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, friend. I hope that you prayed that to God. It's not so much about the prayer, although prayer is simply communicating with God in its simplest definition. If you prayed that, that's a prayer designed to help you pray to admit you're a sinner in need of the Savior and to receive him. Repentance and receiving Christ are essential in salvation. And listen, if you'd like to get a copy of a book, What to Do Next, What Next Now That You Are Saved, let me know, info@safeguardyoursoul.com, and I'll send that to you. It's a small book that gives you how to follow Jesus from now forward, how to fellowship with other true believers and read your Bible and have a prayer life, etc. info@safeguardyoursoul.com. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening, and thank you for praying for the supply and the fruitfulness of this outreach. God bless you. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.